solution. Invite and talk as you take us.
Thank you very much, our chairperson, and good morning to all the members of the committee. The presentation that we are making, as you suggested, Chair, we will try our best to focus on the high-level matters. We also want to indicate to the committee, as you see the said a copy is being made to the one that was submitted. It's basically about areas where we wanted to make emphasis to the committee. So it was really about amplifying certain issues that are already contained in the slide. The presentation also takes place within the context of major policy shifts that have taken place nationally. SALDA has a 5-year strategic plan, which we have come annually to present before one of the colleagues. It is now on its 4th year implementation. And the 4th year of implementation is ushered in by 2 major national policy shifts, one being the adoption of the National Development Plan, and primarily the chapter that places expectations on local government to play into. So our adaptation of our strategy was then geared towards that. The second part of the major national shift is back to basics, the program launched by the Minister of Cooperative Governance last year on the 18th of September. So it also necessitated a shift, particularly on the emphasis on what we'll be doing as organized local government. So those were 2 major policy drivers around this. Now, in terms of the background, which we have shared with the committee October last year, this slide broadly reflects the template of a mandate of SALDA, what we do, and what the purpose of our agency, that of being a lobby and advocacy and the representative body for local government, the mandate of being an employer body local government, the body charged with responsibility for building capacity of local government individually and also institutionally, also responsible for support and advice to municipalities, strategic programming of local government, and also building capabilities to do the knowledge and information sharing platform for municipalities. So those are basically the broad mandate assigned to SALDA. As I've indicated, in terms of the National Development Plan and Back to Basics, these problems have largely been captured to characterize what are some of the challenges that we have faced in local government and areas that our progress will be measured against. And this has been summed up in the context of Back to Basics. And the test of our progress in sector will then be measured on the areas of improvements in all the outcomes, the strengthening governance and oversight challenges, particular area of consequence management in terms of accountability, compliance with laws, intergovernmental debt that is continuing to rise exponentially in communities. Today sitting at above 96 billion rand. So how do we tackle this major challenge? Infrastructure funding as well as maintenance. So these are the areas of our focus. The 5 core pillars of that as covered in this slide speak to putting people first and their concerns. What is our response as organized local governments to push local governments to the response to the citizens? How do we create conditions for decent living and also good governance and maintaining sound institutional capabilities? So our APC then has identified 7 goal areas and in the main refined its focus to 4 APEC priorities. 1, reviewing legislative and policy framework to impact negatively on local government. The 2nd one being the review of local government seekers and financial management framework. The 3rd one being improving health costs and building cyber capability. So all of this will be focusing on putting a model for differentiated approach to support local government. As I've indicated, we're on the 4th year of the 5-year strategy, the 3rd year being the electoral transition cycle that is coming up next year for the first. We have identified about 36 key performance indicators for the 2015-2016 directly to implement the 4 APEC priorities. In the main, our work is focusing on impact and outcomes, and we will demonstrate that as we present these KPIs, how they relate to 2020. and how the impact will measure in terms of delivering this work. So some of the flagship projects for 2015 that we have settled out of our ABC, the Chairperson's Notice has indicated that we are already in the preparatory mode for local government election transition cycle, and our state of readiness for SALGA in this current financial year will be the extent to which we can prepare an induction regime for the new campus that will come ahead. Usually we have about 70% threshold that we had in 2006. In 2011, it was around 50% threshold in terms of turnover. And then if trend is maintained, it would mean we would also have a number of new councillors that we must prepare for induction generally. So we're gearing ourselves for that induction. The second one, we also prepare annually the convening of new councils, category A, B, and C, in the context of that subject. So SALGA prepares a clear framework and manual, how to convene the first council meeting, how to preside, the role of the speaker, and so on and so on. The assessment of municipalities in the application process and any subsequent restructuring will be a flagship program. The profiling of municipalities as good work that is happening in municipalities beyond 2015. The regulatory and policy challenges with regard to electricity and energy in general is a major flagship program for us. The last one being the conclusion of the monthly collective bargaining. These are the six flagship programs that we have to. If I can just start with the update on where we are on the collective bargaining process. We have started the process on the second and up to the 4th of March. That was the first round of negotiation by parties. The current agreement we have expires in June 2015. So this last quarter of the financial year is then dedicated to hopefully change a deal before July 1 comes into place. And we have put together a package of measures which we think should facilitate the process in terms of our engagement with the organized labor. And I think from time to time, we will update the committee should it so desire at certain phases of our engagement leading to Zoom. And this slide out of the question speaks directly to what are the issues before the parties at this point in time. There is about five items of engagement, and organized labor has put before the municipal sector its own demand, and as the employer, we have put before the committee what we think is an integrated package to respond on this matter. We are still hoping for a multi-year wage negotiation agreement, which has characterized the degree of stability between 2009 2012 and 2012-2015. And we will be putting before the parties before parties. So that's the high level update on that. On the APEC priority that we have identified, so that we said we have four APEC priorities. And in the context of that debate, we have identified that the review of legislation and policy frameworks that impact negative on local government remains a major focus area for us. And the work that we'll be doing 2015-2016 will be ongoing, but we sought to identify the nature of the challenge, the overview of the interventions that we think can respond to these challenges, and the expected outcomes by 2015 in regards to that challenge, and what is the impact of our work. We identified a number of areas that we need to review in terms of the law, and some of them were shared extensively with the NPOP during the strat plan session last year, and when the process of compiling all the laws that in our view continue to undermine the ability of local government to do its work. So that remains a focus to review this in the context of that space. On the area of oversight mechanisms in local government, we reported to the committee shared the progress in 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. And today, Chairperson, this is a picture of our establishment of oversight committee in local government. Last year, we set a committee. The test of progress for this committee, their functionality, will be the degree to which they can positive correlation with outcomes of the committee. If we have no infrastructure, is there positive improvement in financial governance? Is there improvement in the strength of on paper? Is there very high accountability to citizens? So we have done the foundational phase of establishment, capacity of these committees in terms of their work, and make sure that they can play their role. And we think, Chair, as we report on the update on age outcome, the committee can see if there is an emerging positive trend line between establishment of these mechanisms and the ability of local government to improve. So the only area that is quite improved, Western Cape has also improved quite significantly, sitting now with nearly 6. The last time it was about 18. And in our engagement with the province, there is now 26 of these structures out of state universities. Further capacity of impact will continue at pace, and having covered all these areas, we will also be convening what we call governance summit in about 4 provinces, focusing again on oversight. Peer learning was also introduced with some of the best practices happening in other provinces being shared with other areas. We will also look at what was adopted by the National Members Assembly of 2013 held in Cape Town anti-corruption policy and delegating framework of legal order of counsel. That will be the second focus area of our work across all policies. And currently, we are doing research to determine good practices in 9 days in terms of how can create a critical mass of good practices on oversight. We will also take the task of oversight capacitation to another critical structure, audit committee in municipalities, and identifying all the objectives of the committee, combine them with MPAC and AG, to look at 4 areas of capacity training, development of rules, and also how the complementarity between audit committees and MPAC can be there. We think that this will go a long way to make sure that a set of delivery committees and audit committee and MPAC, they work in tandem to bring together a much more impactful and robust infrastructure oversight. The second APEC strategy is on sound financial management and fiscal framework for local government. Again, in terms of expectations, this element speaks to financial resilience in municipalities and how we make sure that from a fiscal review, local government in an ongoing way must improve its ability to share resources internationally, resources it raises itself, but increasingly the IGR share of local governments to be significantly reduced to make sure that municipalities have a better financial investment to drive their capacity. So we've identified the challenge and the intervention around this and what we think will be the outcomes for this year. The positive correlation share that we think is emerging, albeit on a limited scale, but it is improvement. At the time of the project, last time, municipalities unclassified audit, where we're talking about 22 entities, and in 2013-2014, it almost doubled up to 14 municipalities, and also a steady improvement on unqualified municipalities. And we had municipalities also in the Limpopo that had major issues around accounting for wage cap provision. And as far as having dealt with the matter with the Auditor General, those municipalities were clear. And we think that the work of all these committees, the work of NPEC, is beginning to yield firm results. If we ramp up the support and they also ramp up performance, you are able to see a much more piece of outcome changing the speech. It is a positive trend, nevertheless. On the area of the municipal audit support plan that we shared with the committee last year, we have done a great deal of work on what we identified last year as 79 red zone municipalities, meaning a municipality that has got the claim and had a opinion. It has now reduced from 79 to 61 in the current audit cycle. And we will be unhappy to get that decree out of place because it is our desire that at a certain time there should not be a municipality that finds itself in a residence. So if we can build a critical mass mentally out of that, it gives us a better plan of dealing with municipalities where they can account, they can have records, nothing is lost, they can present the other thing. It is a hard job, but we think it is highly doable. We will also be paying special attention to municipalities that will be proposed for redemarcation. A number of them have been identified as engagement with the demarcation board, and ours will be to take lessons that were picked up from the tournament where Mr. Ling and Kalinen were integrated in Swan. The heavy financial implications for the Swan at that time did not have a mechanism to cushion the municipality from the receiving side. And once they have done their own financial modeling of what it means to integrate the municipality, they're sitting with 1 billion rand. So what we've done is also we've been engaged last year as a school to take a conversation up to the budget fund to provide for what we call a transitional grant for any NDK restructuring. There is now allocation by the Minister of Finance of about 100 something million for these municipalities, which is just dealing with the transition. The actual cost of what it is as yet to be determined. So that the lessons were picked up in Fulham, the lessons were picked up as far as Salvin, where we have prepared this, is that there is quite a lot of implications that needs to be taken into account. So we'll pay particular attention given the scale of the number of municipalities that are likely to be impacted by the implementation of the law. The third APEC power for Salvin is improved municipal capacity. Again, it seeks to build on a number of interventions that Salga cumulatively for the last 8 years has been implemented. But what the organization seeks to do now is have a dedicated vehicle to drive capacity development and targeting the core leadership of municipalities. And the last time we reported in our annual report, we had council development program that delivered in terms of municipality, senior management in action, leadership development council in action. And the planned capacity for 15-16 will be looking at these five areas, and all of these are in this stage to be delivered by what Salga will be launching at this National Members Assembly this month, Salga Chamber for Municipal Government. Looking at best practices elsewhere in the world and also nationally in our country, complementarity with the School of Government, and looking at how organized local government drive support to their membership. So we'll be looking at major initiatives on-site learning with a number of universities, targeting both officials at the level of employees as well as elected leadership and municipality. The fourth APEC priority is around building further the center of local government excellence, knowledge and intelligence around data sharing, building tools of analysis for trend lines in local government. When we talk about urbanization, how to measure the scale to which urbanization is rapid and what are the means. We could talk about parameters for governance accountability and so on. So building that center of excellence would help us move towards that line of ensuring that there is intelligence, freedom, and conversation around assisting municipalities to share with one another. On the deliverables of each of these goal areas, there is a full detail here. At your indulgence, I can go through, but given the fact that you said probably the high level, so under each of those, we have detailed a goal. What will be the outcome under that goal? What is it linked to that race? So it is clearly resonating with each of the elements that we have covered. So there's about 7 goal areas here, seeking to save healthy environment communities, planning and socio-economic development at local level. In the main, under this one, I would like to flag the issue of small town regeneration as a major driver, given township economies focus area that has been raised at Shona as various sources across the province. So Salga would also be focusing their attention to which mining towns, tourist towns in the coastal areas, and towns in inland provinces, the extent to which we could crowd investment process aimed at revitalizing. So it's going to be a further focus areas as well as the implementation of SPLUMA legislation that was recently passed last year. Goal number four, building a responsible and accountable local government. Again, looking at major areas around improving accountability in municipalities. So it's goal number five, in human capital development, and again, building capabilities in local government. Number six, financial and organizational capacity in practice, improving fiscal instruments, as well as revenue management. We will be undertaking a study on the billing system that continue to affect some of the municipalities, to underline the drivers of what constitutes a functional billing, what are some of the issues that make things different, and what can we bring to the fore as a functional and most appropriate tool of that. So in the absence of an integrated model ICT system, it comes very difficult for municipality and commission. So we want to understand the drivers behind it. Goal number seven is around administration to install a strong organization that is globally acknowledged, and its long-term sustainability must be tied up to how it has improved the image and credibility of local government. That becomes the first of the five. So these are some of the key projects under each APEC priority, as you have detailed. Continuing municipal audit support program, quantify the cost of prepaid services, and also looking at a number of models for system evaluation, as well as building stronger as a knowledge center. What are the specific tasks then in support of PPP programs that are being rolled out of the country in 9 provinces at the moment by our minister? These are some of the key alignment of our goals and the focus areas, and we have identified the person under each of those, what we will be doing in the context of our handling. And this slide is one example of what we will be doing under that product. The second one being good governance, and what the main will be doing to improve tools for accessing good governance and public participation. Institutional capacity, what are some of the areas we'll be doing specifically on that outline, financial support, community policy, resolution of unfunded mandates, cost of representation, introducing these into the budget forum to review it here to share, and develop models for billing that have been driven from funds. Under our own budget for 2015-2016, they made us to do this work. And we have reported to the committee that we still a very vulnerable organization given the fact that we are a voluntary membership system. But there is heavy education placed on us, both by the Constitution of the Republic, various laws that impose obligations to serve certain ideas, structures, and implement certain things. Correspondingly, there is no concomitant resources from the Narasiska to enable further proposals. So last year we reported to the committee that our projection for the outer years 2016-2017, 2017-2018, Salga is approaching a new location for the this fund now being reduced from an amount of 26 million to 9 million. And the rest depends on the volunteers. So it is a major concern, and these are some of the remunerations that we have, and it's quite clear that the heavy reliance on membership, it is still a sensitive area where municipalities almost 73 are regarded as unviable. So our ability to establish membership without a complementary membership is severely undermined from your ability to impact on these plans that we present. At the level of the draft revenue projections, we have increased in the main the membership grant. And we hope that Jefferson, some of the work, given the limited time, they can see the persuasion of Salga's allocation to the review to make sure that it can continue to pay for it. We think that our focus is taking roots, and we are still not yet there. There's many challenges facing the quality, and we will continue to seek to improve and appreciate innovative ideas on how we can continue to strengthen our work. But at the level of sustainability, at the level of credibility, at the level of speaking to municipality what is expected, Charlotte can also in turn indicate that indicators of management finances and how it's very well said.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Panel members are invited to comment and to pose questions or to make adjustments. Honorable Mela, Honorable Matondo, Honorable Gisemo, Honorable Matiti, Honorable Matila, Mela, Honorable Mela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps I can start at the very end on slide 52, which is the draft revenue projections for SELGA. And we've heard a plea for more revenue or more income, more funding for SELGA. But what we don't have here is any indication of the proposed expenditure budget. So we have no way of knowing how that is being justified. What is SELGA going to spend its money on? That's essentially what I would like to see as part of a proposal here. Then, Chair, if I can just go through some of the slides. I'm going to start on a slide. Look at slide 5. It has a number on it. Consequence management was raised as an issue, and I'd really like to see SELGA pushing that quite strongly. We've recently heard the Minister pronounce on 640 unqualified senior officials, I'm talking municipal managers and chief financial officers, and the need to get rid of those unqualified people or to make provision for exit strategy for those people so that we can bring qualified people in. I'd really like to see SELGA push that, and secondly, I'd like to see SELGA take stronger action against those people who are involved in financial mismanagement, who are actually dragging our municipalities down. I'd like to see SELGA pushing for stronger accountability and stronger consequences. Chair, then on slide 13, under flagship projects, one of the flagship projects is profiling municipalities with specific focus on good news stories. Now, I have no objection to this in principle, but I am concerned that if we only talk about good news, we never identify what the problems or challenges are that are facing municipalities. And we need to look at the good and the bad so that we have a holistic picture of what needs to be done. If we only tell incoming councillors that everything is great, everything is wonderful, they're going to think, well, you know, there's no problem here. So let's actually identify what the challenges are and need to address. On that same page, you talk about a framework and manual for convening first council meeting, and you spoke about the role of the speaker, and I'd really like to see that unpacked very comprehensively, so that the speaker understands that his or her role is that of an impartial chairperson, whose job it is to enforce the rules of order. What we have in municipal councils across South Africa are biased speakers who don't follow the rules of order, who throw them out the window and do their own thing. And that's happening everywhere. I can take you to 100 municipalities and show you that in action. So I'd really like to see the role of the speaker being unpacked in detail, so that councillors understand what is expected of that person and what the ethical criteria are that that person should meet. I am confused a little bit on slide 15, where you talk about an update on the collective bargaining process, and item number 3 talks about an increase on conditions of service. And then it says, to be increased in accordance with the rate in 1 above. Now, the rate in 1 above talks about CPI and CPI plus a half and CPI plus half in the after years. But conditions of service is generally the environment in which you operate. It's about the hours of work. It's about the structure of the organization, etc. So I'm a little bit confused as to how the increase in conditions of service is linked with the rate in 1 above. Maybe I'm misunderstanding, and I realize that's a union demand, but help me to understand that, if you could. There was, I think, one more question that I had, and just find it. Yeah. on the capacity building initiatives, and there's talk about the local government development through the self-defense for leadership and governance, media stakeholder engagements, et cetera, et cetera. And there was also talk about, on the previous slide, about the number of councillors and officials trained to date through the councillor development program, the senior management induction program, the leadership development workshop, counter induction program. That's all well and good. What we're doing is we're educating people. But are we giving them the skills and the resources they need to do their jobs? What I'm talking about here is knowledge sharing, practical knowledge sharing, best practice sharing, rather than formal education. Remember that formal education takes people out of the work environment for a long period of time as well. So that's the first part of it. The second is the resources that people need to do their job. I'm talking here specifically about toolkits. If you gave, for example, a toolkit on how to analyze an annual report, and you said, these are the kind of questions you need to ask to interrogate an annual report properly. This is the kind of thing you should be looking for in your impact, etc. Those are the tools. It's not formal education. It's skills and resources that we're talking about. And I hope I can get some clarity on that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pong. I would start by appreciating the convention that we really shows that there are improvements in the association. And the improvement is given by the association admitting that there are challenges that need to be worked out. My concern is on the capacity building, mainly on officials. And also the question, like, is the entire training to be implemented by all municipalities? Because it will assist in breaking in terms of the process of evaluation, if it is implemented and correctly so. And another thing, maybe the reason why we are approaching elections is that the leadership in terms of corruption and the risk, sensitive sometimes, but we find that there will be a lot of removals or placements that will be taking place. So in terms of ensuring that we are training as good, maybe the association in terms of ensuring that the municipalities, in order for them to ensure that the service delivery takes place as according to the regulations. There's also mentioned in your presentation that there is a correlation of the application in terms of the implementation of the basis. So if maybe that is not the case, because sometimes you find that they are inside officials, they express experience, but because of the new leadership sometimes, maybe the preference, the leadership does not really prepare an individual sometimes, and the individual will place where maybe the individual also starts to have in terms of the new responsibility. On maybe financial wealth management in terms of the association at the municipality, the this issue that is very problematic, the billing system, that is not actually people sometimes are the goes wrong. And recently, a week, which was also for a future project, was being, unfortunately, I don't remember the area that was into, but it was an area that is of a low quality. Maybe people who are residing there are like indigenous people because they will have to see houses, but they are being built as people that maybe who are according to pay the services. So I have also seen that you mentioned that you are addressing municipalities in terms of how to charge water, electricity, and so forth. So it may be that you also have because the issue of the system is very problematic. I think, yeah.
I want to make a proposal. I think we'll support this one.
Please
leave the letter at the moment. I want to make a proposal that would be a good idea for our colleagues. Just to have tea. We don't have enough space in five. That takes 15 minutes of our time that we reformulate your question that you want to and then allow our colleagues to have some time that we can share. That would defend them without giving them even what they see. Now we are provided with tea. Just take tea and coffee. Come back after 15 minutes, we continue. Because we won't be able to move around, and even the screen is great, and I think it's very difficult for us to move around. Okay, that's it. Are you here until the end?
No, I will not. I'm going to run out of
meetings.
Hello. I'm sorry for you.
For the National Leaders in the Facility.
Yeah.
I won't be able to make it, but maybe one of my colleagues can make it.
Okay, not a problem.
Yeah, I'm going to check it in now. Shereen, I'll check my entitlement report. It's still not there, huh?
Let me just, I spoke to Nancy also again yesterday, but let me think of something she thinks
me. Okay, yeah? All right. The 24th to the 26th is Selja's National Assembly. It's the week after. No, it's not next week, it's the week after.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm
confident it could be a
delegate. I don't know if you guys want to go. I can't go. I've got to be a Okay. National Members Masole wasn't there, and it was just a very nice discussion.
You see, because it would have, you know, before they
we spoke about the fires, we spoke about disaster management. Another thing about disaster management amendment bill, we spoke about that. Absolutely. I think I want your input as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm worried about.
Ich glaube, wir haben noch nicht gesprochen. Hey, sag mal so. You know, I was at home from the play. Play the rice. Move to play,
Okay, I'll talk to John when I see him later.
Yeah, Pollen's birthday once, eh? Hmm? That's why there's a Pollen Street.
When was this?
Oh, long time ago.
PE.
Hmm? Also sitting in Grahamstown once. What can we do? We can call them to come and account.
No.
Bring him here.
Okay. I thought it's very fair just to allow our qualified invited to his restaurant. I know that they can arrange some we can then proceed with our first thing.
Thank you very much.
But I don't think that we are really getting what we can get out of our manager, the team of managers. Because we need an ongoing way to transform them into leadership. From being mere managers into leadership. And there isn't sometimes enough training available in some institutions, including universities, to pursue this better, this logical conclusion. So Fela can play a very critical role. Because leadership is overall what we need. It's not in the public, throughout South Africa, both in the public and private sector. So the number needs to be reduced and changed. On the question of revenue, which is slide 51, my only comment there is that I think we must keep on doing what Salga is doing. To say, in terms of revenue, 93% of Salga revenue is raised from non-municipalities. And to be proud of that, and articulate this fact, because if you have an organization, in this case, an organization of municipalities, it should be funded by municipalities, first and foremost. We know that there are problems around the budget and so on, but then use the argument as we engage with the treasurer to say, this is what we're actually raising. But this is the sort of structure and the financial resources that are required to do huge amount of work.
Thank you, Honorable Masondo, Honorable Mapula. One of you who also has helped us better.
Thanks, Chair. The slides that we were sent on Friday, was it on Friday, that we're in here, has got full 9 slides. And the presentation that has been made there's but fewer slides. I think there was an omission on the budget and the expenditure and the breakdown of the categories of expenditure. Then my colleague here was asking a question about the expenditure. I don't know whether it was an oversight or what, but it is contained in slides number 42 and 44 of the slides that will be sent. So that information was available. I don't know why Salga chose not to present to us, but we do have that. One of the issues that I don't think we have received as a committee sufficient explanation on was the reduction in the allocation from National Fiscal to Salga to a point where in 2016-2017 there won't be any allocation to Salga. So I don't think we have received both from the department and as well as Salga not even convincing any explanation as to why that allocation was reduced. Because some of us have got a different view. As much as Salga is an organization or an association of member municipalities, but Salga also the creation of a legislation. It's provided for in the legislation, it's a schedule 3A and TT. And when legislation establishes an institution, I think there is a concomitant expectation that that institution will also be funded from the state, because it's the creation of the statutes. So I don't understand. You see, the difficulty that we are facing, Honorable members, and I hear my colleague Honorable Masondo about Salga being proud to derive most of its income from the municipality, which is true. But on the other hand, we are still dealing with the problem of financial sustainability of municipalities, which issue we have raised previously, to say that there are municipalities which are struggling to finance the operation, and yet those municipalities are expected to make a contribution to SAGA, and yet they are not able to sustain themselves financially. And most of the municipalities we know they are struggling, except in the metros, financially. So this reduction will mean that there will be an additional burden on the municipalities to increase their allocation to SAGA, which is not a good thing, because we must free up as much resources as possible to the municipalities so that they can utilize those funding to provide basic services. So that's why I'm a bit uncomfortable about this, and I hope that at some point we will be able to get an explanation as to why this, either from the department or from SAGA or from National Treasury, as to what was rational about this. Linked to this is the issue that I think SAGA has raised as part of its APEC priority about financial looking at the fiscal framework of municipalities. Now, Chair, we have raised this issue with the minister in our meeting, I think, last week, posing the question as to whether are we all satisfied that the 9% that is allocated to local government from the national fiscal is sufficient to be able to fund local government to perform all its responsibilities, given the fact that we have got serious challenges of service delivery at that level of government. Now, SAGA is also raising that as part of their focus areas, but I'll be happy to get from SAGA what are the specific proposals that are coming from organized local government about the funding of local government as a sector. I would have been happy to see specific proposals as part of the APP to say these are the things that we do, these are the specific proposals that we are having that we would want to engage with National Treasury and COFDA to be able to have a review, and the Financial and Fiscal Commission to have a review on the funding of the sector of local government. Because most of the burden of provision of services has been almost taken to local government, and I don't think that is, from where I'm seated, I don't think that there is sufficient financial resource allocation to be able to do that. There's also an issue about the review of legislation. I'm not sure whether as part of the APEC priorities of SAGA. I'm not sure whether SAGA is aware that there is an intention by the department to introduce local government laws amendment bill to parliament. Our information is that they already is in process by cabinet. If it hasn't been approved, but it's in the process of being submitted there to cabinet and ultimately to come to here. So if we still talk about reviewing whilst the horses have already bolted, they are out of the stable, we might be talking about we might be left behind the processes that are currently underway, and you might be denied the opportunity to be able to make that contribution. But I'm sure you might be aware of that. Of that process that is coming to Parliament, which we are going to process at this level. And I'll also be happy to get specific identification of pieces of legislation that impact on local government negatively. Now, I know that previously we spoke about the plethora of legislation that impact negatively on local government, which some of us feel that's a lot. So it would be very helpful if we begin to identify those and propose specific amendments. Now, I know that there is a debate about whether should we continue to regulate or whether you should reduce regulations, because there's a perception that most of the wrong things are happening in the sector of local government, and if you reduce regulations, you might create space for wrong things to continue to be done in that area. So my point is that it would be better for us to identify those legislation and propose, so that it can help the committee on process of the legislation. Slide 25, Chair, I'm happy about the progress in the outcomes of 2013-2014, particularly the 82% improvement in the clean audits of local governments. I think this is a very good development. This is contrary to the narrative that our country continues to receive on a daily basis about how local government is going on the train. Because almost every day people talk about, hey, local government collapsing, loss mismanagement, and so forth. And this is contrary to the steady progress. It might not be enough. Of course, there might be areas where you need to take municipalities out of what you call the red zones. But this picture is very good. It points to a...
Sorry to conclude.
Okay. That was my last point, actually, Chair. I looked at the National Members Assembly, just to digress a bit, Chair. And I see that the Portfolio Committee doesn't have a role to play in the rest of the program. I see that many other stakeholders in local government which are playing a role except the Portfolio Committee. I thought I would see the name of the chair there, presenting a perspective of the committee from Parliament. But that is just to digress. Thanks.
If I see my
level,
I decide to let us move on and then one of the fun. So what do you want to group on?
Yeah.
With the mayor and the minister.
Yeah. I think that the first part on the report. One, if Sarah can be able to do something about the situation in the national manager, that's the first thing. I'm putting it on record. I put it last week to the minister, I'll put it this week, I'll put it next week. Because it is not acceptable that institutions such as the municipality will find such conduct. The people of that city need answers in relation to that. And we're not getting answers from anywhere. This is how that can have a way to find out exactly not in the nation. And what action still needs to be taken by the principal into that? It's a situation we're not going to stop asking on behalf of the people, irregardless of the color of the nation. But it's a question we need answers and immediate action. I'm raising this because I have raised it with the minister in the context of international protocol. To say, to what extent or what monitoring mechanism to have an institution to monitor the open international relations as we start to just get involved without accountability to enforce it further. Having a framework guides that particular area. Because it's not a lack of mind that we're laughing about this
country.
And sign an accord which is another kind of. Therefore, this all of us, we should take it to grandsons.
How does it compare to
I'm a member of Parliament. I don't know what to do about this situation because nobody is giving me answers. How much the people on the ground? That was answer. If you can help in this respect, we need answers to what is transpired in that area. The second one, you presented on attempts from our board, but I want to get to this area of foreign questions. What are you doing in terms of monitoring implementation of the accommodation for the process? So the millions of rand spent by the municipality to commission this audit. But the same municipalities, when they look at the recommendation, they don't implement. Therefore, Sandra, are you having a monitoring mechanism to say, what are the movements in that area? On the Center for Leadership Academy, there is a local government that now tries to train in automation. That conduct training on local government. Is this not duplication of the responsibilities? Why there is an institute that is funded by government, but through that education to perform this responsibility of equipping municipalities in this respect. I'm not really doing the same thing. But also institutions by the name, there are programs in place put up. Because I know in the Nelson Mandela the partnership between the university and the municipality. Therefore creating that. On your nine priorities for 2014-2016, but what you have not said, what are the programs that you have put in place, where are these projects, what have you done about them? Because on your 2015-2016, you repeat the same thing as the priorities, but you're not telling us on what has been done just for 2014-2015 in this regard. We know that, yes, phase one of the Center for Leadership has been implemented, but other areas, we don't see anything. On funding, I think the argument put by Honorable Sachi Mason is a valid argument. But I think here from our part, we need the minister. The first one, 2000, where there was a role of players that explains in the past 5 years to say this is how funding is going to move, or just something that has just triggered because of the revenue pressures that the country is confronted with. You wake up, they're told it's going to be cut. But there was a first assessment that outlined, prepare yourself for this scenario of cuts in terms of funding from the national pickup. I want to get an explanation. But we must take under this debate, I think, as a committee. We can't be looking around for answers, what you have minister to say. What is the political rationale behind this phase out of funding of this institution defined by the constitution? Then the political leadership, I think that's where we can get answers. President Gwanda was the Minister of Finance, possibly when he started the Minister of Local Government. I think we need immediately, maybe a part of the questions in our first election with him to get this, because we can't be found wandering all around asking questions that do not know. We have to be able to get a rational decision as a committee in relation to this. Thank you very much, Shepard.
Thank you very much. Let me invite the leadership of Shalka to comment and ask questions where it needs to answer.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, members on the comprehensive engagement with the inputs. I think Honourable Maplan has covered the first question on the deployment of revenue projections in terms of OPEX and CAPEX. It is about four slides dedicated to that on the presentation strength. I think on the issue of consequence management for local government, it's one area that the Sheldon has really pushed hard for. And I think the Chair of Sheldon cover in detail our common collaborative program with our minister in terms of renewal, even of a regulator, around pushing for stronger infrastructure of accountability, especially consequences. So SALGA has pushed for this thing at 2011 National Member Assembly and work out a proposal in this regard. But we are also encouraged that at the recent midnight last week Friday, there is a major effort on the side of COFTA to actually push hard for reports for provinces on what happened on each matter, whether it's a family report, whether it is the accountability on actions of officials and so on. So the regular mechanism that we make, the provincial province, are also asked to do this accountability. Also on the area of flagship program in terms of profiling good work happening at municipalities. Indeed, the focus of profiling is not to pay attention on the very real problems that still afflict local government. It will be more about recalibrating the relationship of citizens with an institution called the municipality. Looking at those areas where there is no area for not exposing to citizens how good work is happening at this. I'll make one example. On water, we have measurement systems where we partner shelter with the Water Resources Commission and the Department of Water Affairs, and annually municipalities are rated on what we call blue drop and green drop water systems, measure quality aspects of water. And most of our municipalities are doing very well in terms of quality standards. But we can drink water for 10. Nationally, most of our cities are at higher level. How do you consider that? The Kekini receiving a global award in Stockholm last year as one of the premier water providers in the country in terms of water quality standards. These are the kind of issues that objectively we want to face, so that we can recalibrate the relationship of what insults does, human assessment and so on. But on areas where there is wrongdoing, equally calls upon us to continue to flag that this is an area of improvement, and to the extent possible, our influence is to improve those, to create a balanced storyline around us. So we will do that. Convening of new councils, we need to unpack in detail the role of the speaker. Yes, indeed, Honourable Member, we will be doing the clarification of the new clear role player, what is normally referred to as Troika, the chief whip, your speaker, the elected mayor, the municipal manager. To a certain extent, some municipalities also piloted the separation of powers and functions, where you would have a secretary of the council and legislature. How to make sure that all these role players complement each other, they appreciate their role and objectively drive their respective responsibilities in a neutral and balanced way. So it will be a part of our induction. Further portfolio-based training to make sure that these roles are clearly articulated. The slide on collective bargaining terms, in terms of our multi-year, three-year project, yes, we are moving from a premise of offering the CDI with an additional amount informed by the national fiscal framework that has been presented by the Minister of Finance, how to guide engagement and collective bargaining. But the rest of the reference that says in relation to above, it speaks to secondary additions, areas like your medical aid, areas like your RA or pension fund,
okay,
that will correspond accordingly. The area of capacity building initiatives, emphasizing on best practices, emphasizing knowledge sharing other than school-based training, that's the focus of our program. That's the main focus of SALGA. So we have chosen to niche it on what we call leadership development. And second area of what we call thought leadership. The ability of putting best practices of sharing, how has CTA in the Republic tackled, for an example, a major transformational issue providing public support. And another minister learned from the city of Johannesburg how they can tackle issues, or we look at any other street. So it will be more about improving leadership within the municipality, sharing what is done here and also outside. The second part about mentoring. Falca has run a leadership training program last year as well as 2018. And all of my sort of could attest to this, where we take leaders that have been in local government that left with a good track record in local government. When we run Troika sessions in different provinces, we, to the extent possible, bring on board those previous mayors and previous leaders to role play, so as it can also be understood from an experience and mentoring, and also complementing that with your broader academic oriented time training. So the balancing of mentoring, the balancing of best practice, as well as what you normally call modular based training, will be the various measures we will continue to seek to improve and innovate. The area of upgrading, yes, it is meant to be done by all municipalities, upgrading of municipalities as part of our wage care assessment labor. The training of the collective labor relations officers at municipality, HR managers, is what Helga is doing across provinces. Some municipalities still have major problems, especially the functionality of local labor forums, the extent to which they utilize their power in relation to engage with municipalities. So these matters are carried under review at the collective bargaining structure nationally to make sure that harmonization is achieved. My colleague in here will speak on the billing system, but review that is what doing to consider best practices and establish what are some of the main challenges looking at this area. In terms of engagement with national departments and continue to capture the challenges, Shopsalga will cover that, as well as the mine town migration area. Engagement with the Western Cape is ongoing in regard to mass, and I think we are beginning to see a steady improvement given the number of municipalities that have now finally established MBEX. The issue around the funding model for Salga, the share of Salga would tackle that part in terms of how far has Salga historically extended this mass. What has happened or indeed the cut that Salga has seen is only the context of the cut right before, but it has not moved from the context of where the baseline of Salga is. The issue of why there's no proper explanation of the action of Salga share of revenue, I think I've indicated that share of Salga will cover on that and the fund model. What is the specific proposal Salga is making on the fiscal review of local government? My colleague, Sinclair, would elaborate the content to engage SSC and what some of the specific issues they have also triggered on Friday in the work of the Council on Finance last week. The review of legislation, my colleague, Lores will speak to the local government of amendment bill, which Salga has made considerable submissions to it. And I think the chair Salga will speak on the Nelson Mandela situation, what Salga is doing about it. And on the municipal relations framework, we do have a framework for municipal relations. Perhaps with your invitation, Chair, you could come one of the days to unpack what the framework covers, what it comes to guide, and what Salga will be for the municipal relations at the time that the committee. But in this case, the SSCTA role as the funder of the mandated grant funding, the center of leadership of SALG is worked in collaboration with the LGC. In fact, some of the funding that we seek to implement is currently being discussed, and so they are aware of this, and they have received a proper submission at local government level, core leadership basis of the leadership. Under the center for leadership. So there's a clear alignment of the conversation with LGC. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. that have been raised on the dealing systems. Yes, indeed, chain members, Strong are currently conducting an investigation around the some of the worst dealing practices and some of the best dealing practices around the country. We're doing international combat review as well, a number of countries around the continent and beyond. The intention change is not to only look at just the systems, but also the social and other particular sectors that have been bearing, you know, on how we inspire, you know, manage their business systems. Fortunately, we've had, you know, an opportunity of meeting with a number of CFOs in a number of, you know, their platforms, you know, to discuss some problems to them, the work that we're doing. And about 8 new sparkies currently have volunteered, you know, to say, come and have a look at our team, and make, you know, recommendations about the needs. But also, Chair, we take up, you know, to see some of the innovation happening in the space, especially if you look at what is happening, not just around the sugar plant aspect, but, you know, importantly around the safety of the sparkies. Coming in sparkies around some of the issues. We have taken the discussion, you know, beyond just the issue of, you know, feeding systems and problematic data around the revenue collection, you know, instruments for local governments. And we raised an issue that though most of the time municipalities will make a point that the equitable share that they, you know, receive from the South Africa is not adequate, they don't have sufficient instruments to generate or enforce, you know, the collection of what is owed or due, you know, to them. And that's the point that we made, you know, last week in the select committee, that we are alongside the work that we're doing on the building system, investigate or investigate instruments, you know, that could be used, you know, to enable local governments to better collect on the money to, you know, to this. So that's the first issue. The second question, you know, relates to our proposals on the end of the year. Yes, we've been interacting with Treasury, you know, and the FFC in particular, and the budget forum platform, you know, but also outside in terms of the collaboration research that we're doing around these issues. We have made, you know, for example, you know, proposals of 1,000 around the fact that the current social formula is still being implemented over the MTF period, but already there are challenges and some question marks, you know, arising from it. One example would be the ever-increasing issue of migration to our metro cities, because that goes with the increasing, you know, parallel demand for services in water camps and in other areas, you know. So therefore, you know, the funding of these projects, you know, must be addressed and attended to accordingly. So that's part of, you know, some of the work that we're doing in the FSC and what we will be taking to the budget forum, you know, this coming June. Just as an example, on the last item, Chancellor, or on some of the laws, honourable member, that we want, you know, the committee to consider. We were working further on this. We spoke about the MPEC structure. Member would acknowledge that in municipality, you know, the council is the executive in the legislature. There's no separation between MPEC and council. So when we look at the effectiveness of the MPEC structure, it could be that we will need some legislation in order to to enable those structures to be their own. There is a proposal, you know, used by some doctor that talks to including to the exemption of government, you know, establishments, you know, your schools, your hospitals, your government buildings from port property rating by municipality. That could have a huge bearing, you know, in terms of revenue streams for local government. It's an issue that we're looking at as well. And at some point, we can come to the committee and say more.
Okay. But that's, I think, very important to have all this. Anyone from the
Can you speak just on the general North American vote? We've actually had technical engagements with Dr. on this. And I'm sure actually we addressed in the bill, we actually, before the bill was initiated, we already made proposals to Dr. The one is, and the one we're very happy with, is that in terms of the structures being read with the election legislation, there was also always conversation about the declaration of the results of municipality and when council actually resumes office, because that has a bearing on when the previous term ends. I'll be trying to clarify that, and we've made proposals on that. then of course that legislation also deals with the NDP. And then also that legislation had proposals on the introduction of legislation provisions relating to the work. We have the previous occasion made proposals to soft on the report, and we commented on their proposals, and we that was used to what it was saying from that. Then we indicated to them two other aspects that we think also be addressed in that, and that are a few proposals also to ease the introduction of the separation of functions. We know that the separation of powers will need a constitutional amendment that can take long, but there are certain smaller sections that we feel should be amended to easily facilitate the separation of functions in the oversight model. So we've made proposals on that. So we are working with them. We feel there should be a few more issues included, but the other projects, unfortunately, will further engage. That was just a few technical relations. Then just adding on what the CEO said, in terms of our dissertation of legislation, in our potential member assemblies that we had last year, we identified a whole list of legislation that impacts on local government. Instead of coming to this complaint, we are now actually drafting proposed amendments. That will say that this is the reason we need to talk to this as a leader, and that in the final stage, and that will be completed within the next week or two, so that we can come with complete proposals on that report. Thank you.
Thank you, Thanks very much. Let me start by responding from the letters by Rob Marcel. Rob Marcel, we have worked to a level now present. We have a ministerial meeting where the Minister for Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation, and Culture are having one meeting for municipalities. Just one sort of meeting. That's how now we are waiting. And I think the Department of Culture will attest to that matter. And we have also brought also to the level of presidency the issue of small towns and their economies, including the mining towns. We have agreed quite recently, and I think the department will also report to the committee, that for instance, 2 weeks ago, the Minister of Culture, Deputy Minister, and so we're having a meeting with all the major metros, specifically looking into metro fitting into metros. And the same thing now is applying to mining towns, because these areas are having different challenges. And instead of the way we've been handling things, that it's a municipality, we think a solution will fit all. It's high time that we look into different challenges and address them differently. I must also indicate that when we talk about over-regulation, a fiscal example would be this one that has been raised by members, where now you are told 70% of municipal officials are unqualified. Is that the state of affairs in the country? Now let's indicate, for instance, I have 4 PAs in my municipality, which is a middle-sized municipality, comparatively speaking. And those officials do not qualify to be CFOs in this country. By a stroke of a pen, people who are qualified became incompetent. The issue here is we are now mixing qualifications with the question of competency levels, where we said to be competent, you need to attend a course, probably a 3-month course, then you're competent. You have qualified people in these municipalities, but they are not competent because we then regulated. And I think that came through Treasure, that to be competent, you then need to attend this course and so forth. You'll have a DG who has been in local government culture for years with experience, but that person is incompetent to deal with matters of municipalities. So the portfolio committee really to look into this matter of how we regulate this industry called local government. Obviously, yes, we need to have laws, but we also need to be sure that the laws that we are putting, the regulations that we are putting, they don't then make it difficult
for the same industry to be able to perform. So those are the politics I think the community must look into, particularly if you're going to draw well experienced people to be able to make these municipalities a function. The second point is on this issue of the good story to tell. You see, in this country, if we are going to get people with enthusiasm to run municipalities, they must be able to know that there are areas where we can learn best practices. Let's take an example of Soweto under the leadership of Bob Mason. You know, obviously, your money load is the apartheid state used to enter in a nice green letter that one of those townships that had flashing fires before other countries. But you then had Soweto under that leadership becoming the township that is having tarred roads, and even people who were starting to stay in the so-called white suburbs starting to move back to their township. That's a good story to tell, and it basically says to others, if you follow some of these examples, you'll then be able also, you know, to perform best. And I think we can't always be saying it's doom and gloom. It's a hopeless situation, because then you'll never be able then to learn from anywhere else. When there are examples, good examples in the industry. Then it comes to the issue of funding for SALDA. I want to be frank to the committee and say, we all know, even the fiscals, that 40% or so goes to provinces, and 9%, 17% goes then to local government. The same area where we are saying we need to deliver. But that's not the issue of today. The issue now is the funding for SALDA. The funding for SALDA is we need to celebrate that. It's members who are hearing SALDA to deliver on the issues that we are raising. But we need to be very careful how we handle funding for this association. I can foresee a future where SALDA will not even be appearing in front of this committee. Because when you are in front of this committee, you also need to account. You account on monies that your government is spending on you in terms of your performance. We will undermine intergovernmental relations by stealth. And this is a trend that is taking place now in the world. For instance, in America, when your federal government did not assist in saving the metro city of Detroit during the car manufacturing crisis, what came out from these metros was, basically, we don't need federal government as metros. We can basically run our own cities and be able to grow our own local economies and so forth and so on. A federal government must then deal with metros of the army and so on and fight the other countries out there. But here in South Africa, our constitution is clear about interdependency and also on the IGR framework. And I think we are fully aware that there are people who are trying to say municipalities should not be seen to be accountable to any other sphere and so forth, because they are a sphere on their own, they are governance on their own. And I think, Tina, if we really want to make sure that at the end of the day, we still maintain the issue of a unitary state, we then have to find ways of ensuring that at the end of the day, local government accounts in the manner that we are doing now. It is very good for some zero funding from government and so forth, even if they are constitutional and legislative matters that SALDA has to perform on. But at the end of the day, it will be, to which degree are you going to carry on those monies if central government is not also funding on some of these programs? And I think the key issue for this committee to seriously look into, if we are not going to have a future of having undermined IGR by stealth, as I'm trying to indicate. Because the manner in which the issue came up, I must say, The funding of SADA has been raised even during Supermaster, during Minister Trevor Mangler's period of the House, which I can share with the committee. We were just told House Consumer had cost-cut measures left SADA expect zero funding in the near future. Slap. And if you saw the pie, the government has just been supporting SADA 2%, 6%, 6%. And obviously we're not asking more. But that's the issue. And then it goes also to the way we are approaching local government. We have just indicated, yes, the issue of energy is important and so forth. We put up a war room for ESCOM to be able to perform. For years and years, local government has been owned by central government, provincial government, and so forth. Billions of rents. For now, we're talking about cement. $96 billion. And this municipality, the OSCOM, $4 billion. And you then ask yourself, if municipalities are owed 96 plus and 98 total, and we don't even have a war room, but we still say this municipality must be able to provide a service. And there are the municipalities that will not seek off your magistrate offices, do not seek off your hospitals and clinics and so forth, but they still have to perform a service. And we, you know, it's like, it's normal. We will worry much about the poor below that they go to that home. And no one comes with a creative idea of saying, okay, fine, if we still owe these municipalities and add some amount of money, why don't we reinforce one or another, and have a service level agreement with the municipalities, that the money then will be paid to municipalities but go straight to us as long as that. I'm raising this issue, Chairperson, simply because there is now a threat that the municipalities that are in this country would not be receiving their equitable share. We don't know what is the impact of that on municipalities. We do not also support these municipalities to use the only instrument that they have of cutting off and switching off in areas that are supposed to provide serious basic service to our communities. I think one or another, as the leadership in this country, we need to be creative when we deal with some matters and never take issues as likely as they come. On the issue, I'm just trying to address the politics behind our decisions. On the issues of Nelson Mandela, yes, I indicated earlier when it was outside the meeting that we've been going there to deal with matters of Nelson Mandela and other municipalities, Mamudele and so forth. But I think it's right time that we also look into the root cause of the problems instead of seeing what are we doing about the problem. The root cause of the problem is the political parties' decisions on these municipalities. And I think we must deal with those issues. They are outside our domain as SADA. As SADA, our stance is whichever municipality, whichever the party that is ruling that municipality, the municipality must provide a decent service from a catalyst. And we should try by all means to make sure that those municipalities provide a service for our people. There are people out there that are saying, let the dysfunctional municipalities continue to be dysfunctional so that others can benefit politically when we come to local government elections. And I think it can be our stance as leadership who want to have a country that is functioning and a country that gives us a service. election nearly happen there, not at the expense of service delivery for our people. And therefore, that's why we always are putting pressure on these municipalities to perform, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what the politics they are faced with and so forth, and the factions and frictions that they are faced with. But at the end of the day, service delivery, we are trying to say it should be a holy grail, something that can never be touched when we are dealing with these political issues out there. And in that regard, we will appeal to the community to really, through you, Chairperson, to really assist local government on matters that local government would raise for us to be able to have governance at that level being the entry point for our country. We have compiled a list of all the regulations, laws that are being introduced for local government to perform and so forth. And actually, this sense of leadership that we intend establishing, we also would be building a research capacity for government to say, before you pass this legislation, these are the impacts that the legislation would have on local government, so that the leadership here can then be able to apply its mind properly before we, you know, we can basically then come to these legislations. Before, we used to have legislations and worry about the impact later of these legislations, pieces of legislation on local government. I think we are trying to improve the situation there. And working with this committee and others, we will then be able to really build the necessary local government that all of us are wishing for. Let us remember, we still have less than 20 years as local government established in the country. And we are in a journey curve, and at the same time we have to prepare for. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I'm not sure there are other members who still want to say
something. Can I just make two quick comments?
So let me allow one of them. Being on the Hunterland thing, I'm not sure whether the councillors also are calling one another. I must avoid us calling one another when they are not calling another. Councillor Ningan, what you want us to do? You won't mind calling one another, but you must be one another.
Thank you very much, Chief, and the honorable members. I think the questions have been adequately responded to. I just wanted to add on to the billing because of the CG, the RDP houses. I just want to say here that, you know, when people are given RDP houses, it's because they are deserving, they're indigent. But as and when their status changes, then because it doesn't mean people are going to be indigent for the rest of their life. We have seen, I think all of us, or most of us, in RDP cases where after a while, the RDP house now is a double story house and so on. That's why then the billing happens, but then there's also a right to that there are indigency registers that are open with municipalities, which has to mean, you know, people must come forward to the municipality of no people are indigent. You know, people must come forward to register as an indigent, and the East criteria where they have to satisfy municipality where they are actually deserving of that area, because otherwise the municipality would build like they build everybody even the indigent ones unless they come forward to see this and the court.
Thank you. Dr.
Matthias. In the previous presentation that this committee can look at the fact that in traditional areas of traditional leaders, there were professionals, there are professionals who are not paying levies to municipalities. Now, in the present presentation here, in the priorities looking forward, I don't see this issue being encapsulated in your presentation. I think this ladies from these areas, we actually go a long way to boost the revenues of this legislation.
Yes, Chairperson, two quick comments. The first relates to the funds, the 96 billion rand that's owed to municipalities by various government departments. I was a councillor for a number of years in Buffalo City Metro, and we found that, and we took a decision at the finance committee there, that rather than cutting services to schools, clinics, etc., we cut off the departmental offices. So the district offices of the Department of Education, the district offices of the Department of Healthcare. And let me tell you something, Chairperson, within 48 hours those bills were paid. It works. So we don't have to cut off the service delivery on the ground in order to get the bills paid. We have to do exactly what Councillor Manion is talking about, and that is be creative in how we apply our revenue collection and debt management processes and target the person that's actually responsible for paying the bills, which is the provincial and district offices of those departments. That's the first comment. The second relates to his comment about unqualified personnel. We do have Treasury regulations, and there is a possible tendency to over-regulate, but those regulations are there for a purpose, because we have far too many unqualified people in senior management positions. We have people who are blatantly incompetent, and this is the primary cause of why we have red zone municipalities, why we have municipalities getting disclaimers, why they are unable to submit their financials in time for audit. So the regulations are there for a purpose, and the Minister has acknowledged, the Minister of Cooperative Governance has acknowledged that there are 640 officials who do not qualify, who should not be in the positions they're in. Now, we, as Parliament, need to uphold the law. Councillors take an oath to uphold the law. And I would expect Selda to push that with their members. Say, this is the regulation. Until regulation changes, we need to deliver on it. And that means that we need to get rid of the unqualified people and put qualified people in those places. And that will go some way to addressing those issues of red zone municipalities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can I just check something, please?
Okay,
Masulani, that's very short. Yeah, just quickly, Chair. Proposed legislative changes on a number of legislation that is affecting the municipalities. Are you able to share it with us as soon as you have completed that process?
Okay. Would be a good idea. Do that, but also identify what is the problem. And because otherwise I'm saying here, we would know what is the problem. And I tell us what is the problem with the situation, what is the problem with the law, why is that thing that is making this attack for local authorities and local authorities. Because then we can then consider when it is wise for us to amend, it's not to amend. You know, convince us that it's correct for us to amend it, otherwise we may amend something that is not no need for amendment. It's just because of the structures of our authorities, the Mandokan authorities. I thought that's the point that was raised by the minister, that even the committee might assist to ensure that as we conduct our oversight function, we do visit the local authorities, and also just to ensure, put some pressure. All that pressure to authorities not to employ unqualified people. Even deemed to be competent but qualified. So there were a lot of people who were very highly qualified but incompetent. Hannah knows that very well. If they're very qualified but incompetent, it's a separate issue. The basic point is that if you want to implement the back-to-basic system, you should employ qualified people who are competent to do the work at the local authorities or the municipalities. That otherwise we can't implement the basic strategy if we do have to do unqualified. The 600, I think that Honorable Nelham was talking about, is important that sometimes very soon can be assisting, but the department itself must be pushing to ensure that, I know that the minister is saying they will account, but on monthly basis.
Yeah.
They will account on monthly basis. Those municipalities that have employed unqualified.
I think it would be easy then to track it. That would be sure that things are done and they don't have unqualified people. And those who are competent but unqualified, sure, I think the local authorities and the South African they would assist them to qualify. That's when sure that we don't take, we need to reform one, I'm not sure it's form one now. Reform one passes them to be completely qualified. But also I think we bear in mind that people are highly qualified, they don't want to work in areas
great positions of president. Huh? Yeah. Great positions of president.
Important that we look at the quality of local government.
Isn't the president great eight?
We'll have a discussion about
it. Isn't Zuma, doesn't he have great eight?
I think the principle that is put
by the
that local authorities themselves must make a contribution. The point that I think I'm making
on the same, you know, with the head of the
state of the world. Beyond of
that, a politician.
That is also a local government for the country. And then they don't have money, they must contribute to the South Africa. I think the interest you must work out and have a principle to do that. If you're a member of an association, you must pay for that association yourself as an MLA. And therefore, that's the point of the principle that it says, but given the circumstances, also given the challenge that you're facing, surely the committee must engage the department to allow some space for them to participate for some time in order to be started to be able to establish so that you have a good start on this. And I think we'll work on that. We also work on some of the issues that I think that are probably I think the annual performance plan is a good annual performance plan that covers fiscal issues because we have all said that everything that we do now for the next 10 years like that is to ensure that the education strategy is implemented. The five pillars should be still there, not just highlighted, but really indicating how we're going to implement this. And I think that is very, very important to do so. And then 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if we implement this strategy correctly, all of us, some of us, some resistance, but pushing, I think FALTA can play for them for continuously persuading other municipalities to implement this. And assist them also to see that implementing this is assisting all of us as a country to ensure that we deal with the issues of local authorities or local government. We thought that we should do that. Of course, once you have put your resolution and legislation, surely I think we'll present it to us and we'll have a discussion on that and see what we can do to assist you to amend all that needs to be amended by Parliament and then also have a discussion on some of the issues that we think of. I have our colleagues who should do that. And as far as I know, there's no other presentation. And Baba Manyoni, what you want us to do from now. You have made a good presentation. Hopefully you are going to implement it. Surely you are invited, especially I think we have your concurrent remarks. What you promised, Baba is talking about the mayor thing there in China. And I'm not sure what can you do to assist him in that. I'm supposed to call them and they charge you to those people. And they said there are always police stations everywhere. Bang. I don't want to re-engage us on this matter forever, but just go and lay. I think we do have photos of them finding the people in China. And then Mama assistance on this, what you can do to ensure that people don't call themselves mayors. When they know that I know. And I think that's a point that is very Romanian.
Now, when we just have high expectations of us, the French are going to be but I think, really, as you are indicating, one area is. Our bus will be a really good competition to look into the issue of the legislation. But most of the discussion, I'm pushing the community something out of this month. You have the in-house people who occupy everything, because they've been doing quite a bit And the law says, get them an alternative. As long as they stay there for, you know, those 3 months or so. If you don't, you have to buy the building for them. But what I'm saying is, really, we must really look into them and see what we can do. So the issue of legislation is quite important. And two, yes, Gina would rather have 80%, 20% sort of concept on funding, where National Treasurer will say, yes, if your membership, 80% is carried by membership, then we also can then contribute maybe 20% as well. Understand the institute. We have a constitutional mandate, we have legislative mandate, and I think the principle is then funding must then follow the mandate in that regard. The other thing is, although here we're presenting the annual performance plan, we also would want to be called to account on performance regularly and be able to engage on matters like the example that was given on Nelson Mandela, where now we'll be going to specifics. In this municipality, what are you doing in this municipality, so that the quality can also be carried on this part of obvious law. Oversight and also accounting. And I think that will help us also as SALGA to be always on our toes. Like, for instance, as we indicated, we'll be having this members' assembly. On the sidelines, of course, we will be talking with those other municipalities that are having problems to look into their issues and so on. And it will be proper that when we come back, we are then able to say, what have we done on this identified areas and so forth. And the issue, as we are indicating, Chetterson, on qualified people to run municipalities, is quite really important, so that we are undermining that issue. And I think we took a decision at SALGA that we are professionalizing. That's why most of the time I use the word industry. It might not be the right term in government, but we are professionalizing the industry, and that goes with the issue earmark qualifications. But I think we really need to be quite creative. Let's take one municipality here, the West Coast municipality. That is here for is not even.
I agree.
But they have unqualified clean audits. What do we say? Do we send them home? And what I'm trying to say, and now we come here and say, oh, people are unqualified, therefore there's no performance. I'm just trying to say, things are not just plain black or white. We really need to, as leadership in this country, look into matters and be able to find ways of trying to, you know, address matters not only in terms of legislation, but also in terms of how we also can make municipalities function. Quite the same thing I was indicating to the communities out there. We have a legislative sort of mandatory meetings, like IDP. Only politicians who attend the IDP processes. Not all our members of communities. So they can be there, but we also need to also be creative enough in trying to assist the laws of the country. We can't just put a law and think that it will work. But in general, the three issues that I'm raising, Chairperson, as you say, maybe we should just invite it here. Also come back and be able to report how far are we on these APPs that we presented to your committee, and I think that will assist you. Thanks.
Okay, colleagues, we are going to do that on our calendar of meetings of our program. We put them to come really have a discussion about some of the issues that are raised. Unqualified testing is doing very well in the West Coast. Many qualified people nursing that in Buffalo City and
in another part of our country. There's a bigger problem. There's a dilemma that I think you are facing. And how do you deal with that? Show the leadership of the local government, everything of that such a does to ensure that we don't create more problems by removing one problem and educating other problems, cause more harm for the entire sphere of governance there. And I think let us work it up in this discussion. And then the APP, I think, will find time again to come in. And then we are going to identify municipalities that we may call just to come and take us through what are the problems of those municipalities that we have identified. I think we are going to identify them as a committee. And then we'll tell you on time for you also to do your own research. Then come in and then take us through what are the difficulties, what are the challenges. I think that would be very helpful for us when we are addressing this issue of local activities and local government, all the demonstration issues, and all of the matters that we have. Okay. I guess that is not an issue for the fine. I think the presentation of the police side is very good presentation. Let us work on it. And I think we are great to adjourn the meeting.
Sorry, Chair, before we adjourn, I've raised this before a couple of times, and in fact my first request goes back as far as October, about the report on Mogalakwena, and when the MEC and Minister are going to present that report to this committee. Now, there are now 5 court orders against the municipality, 5 court orders. The last one was 2 weeks ago, and it was about a labour issue. Chair, my concern is that the municipal staff are being prevented from... Sorry, I don't know what's going on. The municipal staff are being prevented from entering their offices. They are being prevented from working on their computers. And no one seems to be taking this as a matter of urgency. So, Chair, I want to reiterate. Can we please call Mogalakwena, the acting municipal manager, the mayor, the MEC, and the minister, to give us a report so we have a better idea of what's being done to resolve the situation. I don't want to interfere in the municipality. I just want to find out what's the situation on the ground, because we don't know. And there's all sorts of stories going on, and I really would like to get some clarity on this. And we did have a schedule, and it was then taken off the schedule. So please be advised when we can expect that to come.
I think Honourable Member Mulanambi is not assisting the situation, and I just want to explain why. You see, the Minister was asked by us, and indeed Member Mulanambi raised this issue at plenary. The Minister gave an explanation. Right? Now, we can have a situation where the numerous stories. Member Milan, as a correct point of that, in fact, goes there, comes back with one version of what is...
I'm asking for a report.
And then the minister provides a detailed report on
where's this report?
And where is this report? So all I'm asking for is, I'm pleading for is, if you want an explanation on Mogalakwena, let's kindly set aside a meeting and get the minister at least to just come and give us an explanation. And let us not have a situation that is very funny at the moment of Peter Wynne, where there are political games that are being played with that situation. Because that doesn't
Chairperson, on a point of order.
The issue will remain forever muddy. So I'm asking for any
point of order, Chair.
Rational approach.
There's a point of order that
is Chairperson, Honourable Musonda is suggesting that I'm playing political games here, and that is not the case. I asked for a meeting to be set up for the Minister and the MEP to report. So if you have clarity, that is not political games, that is our job. And to suggest that I'm playing political games is an insult, and I'd request that the Honourable Mr. Law withdraw that.
Chair, you see, the point here, I think, is very important. And as committee,
Honorable Mayon, you see the problem that you are facing in local government.
Yeah.
You are being it here. You are very far from a African. But now we are fighting over the color when it's not our creation instead of the problem. Created by Sandra. We don't do your oversight fantasy. You are here. Let me have it. You are here. Yeah, but because you are also part of the broader local government, but listen to this. And now,
the point is that that is being raised, that the issue of Mukhalakwan has been a national issue. And it's not acceptable that the committee that has an oversight responsibility in a national problem that has been seen by the
committee
since this process of study was never received appropriately. It doesn't go that way. And I think that the committee should take responsibility, but in that regard, we did not perform our oversight. And also giving guidance. We are not given the guidance by the minister. We give guidance to political leadership, to the executive as parliament. Therefore, in that respect, the court has always been there. Not only on the Macquarie issue, on any issue that needs our national attention, such as that issue. We need to act with speed to respond to those things. Therefore, Honorable Mena, I don't do anything wrong for him. If we have not received the report, even myself, the issue of Nelson Mandela, like, even tomorrow, even today in Parliament, as long as we have not had a discussion at this level. That's what we're doing, and I think Honorable Mellon is not doing anything wrong. As long as we've not had a discussion at this level, we'll use every platform to raise the issue. Therefore, the request is separate. That we speak from our part. We have this thing as a program. This report needs to come on the people of this country as soon as possible. That's the only humble request for us to be at the same level on this matter. Thank you very much.
I think we've been extremely out of order this meeting. Because whatever we're discussing is not on the agenda of this meeting. So maybe next time in any other meeting we'll raise whatever they're going to raise and we just not talk. There is a manner of scheduling of items that appear in this committee. And I don't remember at any point sitting down discussing, must have this today, have that tomorrow, unless we're discussing the program of the committee. So I'll let you, Chair, just to say that this request by Honorable Kevin, you must deal with it, interact with him, get all the stakeholders. If there's a need to schedule this, we'll schedule it either normal or schedule the items for discussion. Without getting into the merits of the issues, because, I mean, we'll discuss that when it comes. But now I think we are just out of order.
Okay. The meeting is called to order. Thank you. No,
we are going to put the item on our
agenda. We are going to put the item on our agenda. One of the reports is already...
None of us want to hide this completely. We want everything to be discussed here in a community. We are going to share with you. We are going to speak to the minister and get a decision on this matter. The matter is closed. We are hiding it. Once the minister has completed the report, we'll invite the minister, the MEC, the come before the committee, they take us through. We invite even the Sarka that day also to be here, or even the Chibosaka 1 or 2. To be here and have a great discussion on this issue that are worrying us. Not only Mahalakwen, I think we'll be other areas. Therefore, we must bring them and then have a discussion on that. Okay, colleague. Look at the meeting is adjourned now. There is this one, colleague. There's a meeting of water and sanitation, a human settlement. The meeting, I think, is tomorrow at 9, a good rock chamber. Member who wants to attend also from this club that they can attend in English. So you always wanted to meet with them.
Is it on what?
At 9, that day with the packet system, the eradication of packet system in our hands. It's something that I think we've been talking about. It was a good idea to go and attend.
Where's that chair?
And then it's group of chamber, packet 9. Sanitation, water and sanitation, and human settlement. If we join them, then we should be thank you very much.